I'm here with Congressman Paul Tonko, one of my great friends. Sorry about that, Paul. Democrat of New York's 20th District. And you've been around since 2009. That doesn't seem like a lot, but it is a lot, isn't it?
Yes, you know, we're in our fourth term and enjoying the opportunity to represent the Capital Region in the House. And the term goes by quickly. You know, a two-year term just by nature is not long, but the activity is, there's enough to keep you busy, and before you know it, the term is closing.
The truth is, you work very hard. And every time I open the paper, there's somebody cutting a ribbon on something, and you're always there. Your hands must be getting a little bit of, you know, problem.
We try to stay active in the district, but also try to do the homework thing, too, because that's important. There are a lot
what do you mean
of
the homework
tough
thing?
Issues. Well, deciphering solutions for a number of issues out there that, you know, continues to mount as a bit of unfinished business in the House. But trying to do the analytical thinking, bringing people into the dialogue so that we can develop a community response to issues that are tremendously important to not only this region and state, but to the country.
Well, you know Paul Ryan and those guys aren't going to let you do anything, are they?
Well, you know, I'm concerned about the manner in which the House is being led. You know, the Republican majority determines which bills come to the floor, how committees are being worked for the various issues. And I can tell you that there are a number of things just kicked aside, including the budget, which had a quasi-agreement back in December. And since that framework was agreed to, some extreme thinkers in the Republican majority in the House, through reckless behavior, are willing or anxious to cut tens of billions more from the agreed upon framework of that budget, which would be devastating because it mostly comes at the expense of domestic programming.
Is there a way to stop them from doing that?
There is. I mean, we have enough Democrats House to reinforce with moderate Republicans what needs to be done, but it's the same old scenario of wanting to rule by the Hassett rule, which is, you know, the Republican majority within a majority within that Republican majority needs to pass the bills. They don't want to go to Democrats for help at times because it creates an awkward political dynamic for them. Because the extreme thinkers, the reckless behavior types, get upset when you go to Democrats to pass something.
So speaking of the Hassett rule, do you think that they're going to have to change the name of that rule since you
they
know
might
he's
want
in a little,
to.
He's in a little trouble now?
They might want to, but I think it's the you know, it's the walking away from a great number of us in the House, the minority party, the Democrats, whereby if you worked in tandem with us, we could get things done. Issues that have been resolved in the past, where the shutdown of government, for example, a couple of years ago was a real threat, and it was Democrats working with Republicans that got that done. In fact, there have been a minority of votes cast by Republicans at times to get things done.
So, Paul Tonko, we've talked many times here about the coming presidential election. I just wanted to ask you something. Most people agree, most political people agree, that the Senate could go back to the Democrats, but not the House. But now, all of a sudden, you know, there are people in the Republican Party who are saying we're going to lose everything if Trump is the nominee.
Well,
is it really possible?
I think that a lot of the polling out there that both sides have been doing and independent think tanks have been doing indicates that, you know, anything and everything is possible this year because of the disruption that a candidacy like that of Donald Trump brings for the Republicans.
Do you think it's possible Trump could win the presidency?
You know, again, anything is possible. I think that when people get down to the serious nature of selecting their candidate, their person for, their choice for president, they'll look at a big picture, including international affairs, and decipher who has more experience. Not only does Hillary have more experience in that regard, but I think Mr. Trump has shown that he has very little awareness of some of these issues. And I think that will be a telling factor.
Nevertheless, he keeps winning overwhelmingly.
Well, you know, again, I think we're far enough away from the general election that some of that fervor that he's developed is about kicking the system in the pants.
Yes, give the establishment.
And responding or igniting a fear or an anger that many may be caring. And I think that that you can't have an emotional choice be the outcome here. I think you need a pragmatic choice. And I think as we get closer to the big day, the general election date, I think people will get serious between their choices. If they're two or three, most likely two people running, I think they'll look at that and their calculus will be who has that experience, who can lead us, who can keep us, keep the world safe and our nation safe.
Okay, let's just jump off of the business about your house and the speaker. We have a former speaker, John Boehner, who is now a big friend of President Obama. But he said that he thought Cruz was Lucifer in the flesh.
Yeah, that's probably pretty powerful words.
You're a Catholic, right?
I am.
You know something about all of this stuff. That's pretty powerful, don't you think?
Yeah, it was somewhat of an awkward moment.
What do you mean, somewhat of an awkward moment?
It was an awkward moment. And I think it just shows the disdain for which some people hold Senator Cruz. And, you know, it's no secret that he has not been a favorite within the Republican majority of the Senate. And, you know, again, his hand involved in the efforts to shut down government probably did not meet favorably with that of Speaker Boehner when he was serving in that post. And, you know, there's an awesome challenge and responsibility to putting a budget together and keeping our nation's economy afloat. And when you get someone acting irrationally and irresponsibly, you know, that sense of disdain stays with you for a long time, apparently, because his charge against Senator Cruz was a pretty emotional one. And a
he's an emotional guy. He cries a lot. You know that.
Yes. Well,
so when he's talking. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you this because, you know, as the president and Boehner get closer, there is an interesting phenomenon like when at a hockey game, when those guys, they bash each other's heads in when they're playing. But when they walk off the field, they often put their arms around each other. Do you think there's that could limit people's respect for politics? They don't really mean it. It's just a game.
Well, you know, the dynamics of late are wild, especially the enemy of my enemy is now my friend.
Yeah.
That factor's taken on some very telling statements this year. I think what people want is action. They want results. They want people working together to make things happen. And it simply isn't working with this construct in Congress. I think we need people to work with the executive branch, and we need people to work across the aisles in both houses. And the Senate and the House have to work in a congressionally spirited way that gets answers to a lot of the questions out there, from, you know, the heroin epidemic to water infrastructure to job creation and growth of household income, which is important. We can't flatline that.
We are out of time here on this one, but I wanted to ask you very quickly, a yes or no answer. When you guys get into the majority, are you going to treat the Republicans like they've been treating you?
Yes. No. I think that, you know, the time for the acrimony to end has long been overdue. So, now, I like reaching across the aisle.
No, not us. We're not going to do that, right?
Well, look, I think we really need to work in a bipartisan way, and I will do my best to make that happen.
Paul Duncan, always love to have you here. We'll be back with some more tomorrow.